Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Countess speaking. We have arrived. Gems, jets, silhouettes, champagne in the sky. Fine premieres and fireworks every single night. Gold, diamonds, caviar, life is but a dream. When every day you're living in is featured on TV.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. We have a music icon on the show. Of course, I'm referring to Countess Luann from The Real Housewives of New York. I'm so excited for you guys to hear my chat. She's one of the few Real Housewives I have not had the opportunity to interview on this program. I talked to her right before she left for the Housewives All-Stars. So I can't wait for you guys to hear my chat. The new season of Veroni starts this week. After my conversation with Lou, I have a talk with Cammy and Neve, who host MTV's Catfish, which also returns for their new season this Tuesday night on MTV. But before I get into Lou, I do have to tell you a quick little story. Now, when it comes to these interviews, I always reach out to the Everything Iconic Patreon to see if any of you guys have questions for the guests. And I try my best to get to all of them. You know, I always come up with my list, and then I print out the questions from Patreon. And if there's any that I didn't have on my list or things that I might not have thought about, I try to highlight them and then I'll add them to my list and I'll go through with the guests. And the guests always have a limited amount of time, so sometimes I get to the questions from the Patreon and other times I don't. Well, when I reached out about Lou, I had more question submissions than ever before. I mean, I think it was 4 pages when I printed out of questions. And I did not get a chance to go in with my highlighter and highlight the unique questions. So I sit down to do this interview with Luann over Zoom. Again, limited time, but I wanted to make sure I got to some of those submitted questions. So I'm talking to Lou, and I'm so excited. We're talking about the new season. We're talking about the cabaret, Chicago, so many different things. And I'm thinking in my head, oh, I don't have much time left. I better move to those Patreon questions. So I grab my 4 sheets of paper that I printed out that were not highlighted. And I'm thinking, okay, I knew there was a few questions on page 2 that I thought were really good. I really wanted to get to. And I'm looking and my pages were out of order and I didn't highlight anything. So I didn't know where the question I was looking for is. Well, there was a question that was submitted a few different times. That was not a question I was going to ask because I didn't know that so many of you listeners would be that interested. However, a few people did submit this question about Luann's reaction to the Suez Canal. Okay, now, I don't know if you guys followed. The Suez Canal was in the news about a week or two ago. Actually, probably like 3 weeks now. It was the Suez Canal. Luann, of course, has a connection to the Suez Canal because the De Lesseps, her ex-husband, you know, they had a big part in the Suez Canal. So I get why people had written in that question. However, it wasn't something that I was anticipating getting to with Luann because I thought, what is she going to say about the Suez Canal? You know what I'm saying? she had some loose connection to it, but I'm not sure that you guys are tuning into Everything Iconic to hear Countess Luann, a Real Housewife, talk about the Suez Canal. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I don't always get it right. So anyway, I'm getting to those Patreon questions, and I can't find the one I wanted, and Luann was wrapping up the answer to the previous question. And so the first thing I see as I'm looking down at these papers is, what's your thoughts on the Suez Canal? Or something along those lines. So then I ask Luann, she gives an answer, it's great, whatever, you guys will hear it in the interview. And then I wrap up the entire interview. I get on the phone with my best friend Beth, I'm talking to her, and she's like, what are you up to? And I was like, oh, I just got done with an interview with The Real Housewives. She goes, oh, what did you guys talk about? I said, oh, about the upcoming season or cabaret show and the Suez Canal. And my friend, I wasn't even thinking, like, because we did talk about the Suez Canal, but like, I didn't even think about explaining that to my best friend Beth about how this woman was a Real Housewife who was married to a count who had some connection to the Suez Canal. And so my friend Beth, who had no idea like who specifically I was talking about, and then also just didn't understand the reasoning about why I'd ask a real housewife about the Suez Canal. She said, very straight-faced, she says, well, did you also ask about 9/11? You guys. I laugh so hard, you guys. I laugh so hard. She says, did you? I mean, of course, I'm not laughing at 9/11. I'm laughing at the fact that my friend is like, why the fuck did you ask her about current events and history? Like, why did you ask about world history or at the Suez Canal? Like, she didn't get it. And then I had to explain. I said, well, you know, Luann had this connection to Suez Canal. People wanted to know about it. So, you guys, I got the answers to your questions, what I'm trying to get to. And I don't know if you tune into this podcast to hear Luann's reaction to the Suez Canal scenario that happened 3 to 4 weeks ago, but you're going to get it. You're going to get it because you know what? I work for the people. I work for you guys. And to be honest, actually, it made me laugh so hard. I'm so grateful that those people wrote in asking me to ask Luann about the Suez Canal. So I'm going to play my chat for you guys. Now, a lot of people also wrote in and said, will you do your impression of Luann? Which, you guys, my impression is the impression of Cookie Monster Yoda / Grover from Sesame Street. It's just like, Jem's Jet Silhouettes! Like, that's my terrible impression of Luann. And I would have loved to do it, but I was a little bit scared. I was a little bit skittish. However, I did ask Luann about people doing an impression for her, of her. And she did, you guys will hear that. But I wanted to get confirmation that Luann, which I had heard before, that she doesn't care if I do an impression of her. So, you know, we got the answers to that. And I'm happy to say that I can continue doing my Luann impression, whether you guys like it or not. So without further ado, I'm so embarrassing. Without further ado, I'm going to play my chat for you guys with Countess Luann. And then stick around for Neve and Cammy, the hosts of MTV's Catfish. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. If you want any of the Everything Iconic merch, just go to everythingiconic.store. We have great Mother's Day gifts that say Queen Icon Legend. Go shop. Have a good time. So let's get to my chat with the one, the only, Countess Luann.
Beauty, class, and elegance lie within the soul. Money, power, and romance are waiting for us all.
I am so excited. I'm here with the one and only Countess Luann. Luann, first of all, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I am happily in New York and feel like the energy is coming back to the city. And that makes me really happy to see.
Right. You know, I got to say, I asked people from the Everything Iconic Patreon to write in questions. And so many of the questions were about just how you're aging backwards. You're like a Benjamin Button. And a lot of people wanted to just know right off the bat, do you have any beauty tips that you can share with people? Like, what are you doing, Lou?
First of all, I'm happy. Second of all, I'm not drinking, so that makes me even happier. and keeps the weight off, I gotta say. And just being healthy and taking care of myself. And I've been traveling quite a bit, meaning most recently, you know, in Mexico and just, you know, doing yoga and doing, you know, sweat lodges and, you know, trying to get more grounded. And, you know, I've always been a big yogi and into spiritual life and just feeling, trying to stay grounded and connected. And I think one of the best ways I've been doing that is running outside also. You know, I try to get outside and connect with nature. And listen, a good diet helps. And, you know, just, you know, I'm doing the fasting thing. So a lot of people want to know how I'm staying in shape. So I do the fasting thing.
The intermittent fasting?
Yeah, trying not to eat before like 10 in the morning and not after 6 at night, kind of thing. And if I do eat at night, it's like a lot lighter than what I would eat during the day. And really Mediterranean diet. Right. So, you know, and just, you know, moving around.
You mentioned travel, and I saw on social media, you were with some of the previous Housewives of Miami, and there's rumors that they're filming now again for a new season. Could we see you pop up on there? I have this idea, fantasy in my head that you were visiting them and we're going to get like a little cameo from you in the upcoming season.
So I'm sorry, I didn't get the top of the question.
The Real Housewives of Miami. There was a rumor that they're filming a new season and I saw that you were with some of them recently on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yes. Is there a way we could see a Lou cameo on the upcoming season?
Oh, well, you know, why not? I like Miami, you know, and I love the girls down there and I'm excited for them to come back because I think it's kind of long overdue. We should have a Housewives of Miami.
Right.
Latin spice.
I know. I know. Talk to me about your upcoming season. I got a chance to watch the premiere. I thought it was great. What was it like filming and going into this new season for you?
Well, listen, you know, it's we're going through a pandemic, Black Lives Matter, and an election year. So it was tumultuous. And I got to give it hats off to the Bravo production team because, you know, we couldn't go to the same places, you know, we couldn't travel, you know, so we had to get really creative. And there was a lot of, you know, red tape to get through in order to get to where we needed to go. So Bravo did a great job with that and our production team. And also, you know, this season feels different because, you know, we're at home more. And I feel like you're in our personal space more. And I feel like that's a good way to get to know someone is actually being in where they live. And we've been through so much. I feel like this season we really wanted to have fun and be funny.
You're always funny. You ladies are the funniest on Bravo, the best show on Bravo.
Thank you. I mean, we're quick, and this is a quick group of girls, and you know, we're New Yorkers. So, you know, things move fast here. I think the season, you know, is filled with so many different surprises. I mean, we live in a diverse, you know, community of New York City and culture, et cetera. So, you know, I'm proud we have, you know, our first Black cast member, Ebony, and she's a powerful, smart woman who kind of, you know, gets into the show and kind of like Leah, she kind of fits from the very beginning. And I have a lot of respect for her. And I think people, you know, even though we get into it, we, you know, we go through it and it's a conversation that needs to be had. So I'm happy that she's a part of the cast and it's going to feel like a different season for sure.
I imagine it's always hard when somebody leaves the show. Were you upset to see Dorinda take a moment to herself, or what did you make of that?
Well, listen, I love Dorinda and it's always sad to see, you know, a cast member go. And, you know, I think she wanted to take a break and she's doing great. So, I'm happy for her. Of course, we missed her. But, you know, it feels like a totally different season. You know.
Did you see the trailer for Bethany's new show? I know, Bethany, your former cast member.
I know. You know what? I haven't seen it. When did it come out? I didn't even know it came out.
It was like yesterday. So it was very fresh. Yes. It was very fresh.
Okay. No, I haven't seen it. But I heard it feels just like The Apprentice.
Yeah. How do you feel? What's your relationship with Bethany like? Do you guys ever text? Is there any sort of communication?
No, I haven't seen her in the Hamptons at all. I wish her the best. She finally got that divorce from Jason, and she's not on our show anymore. So I wish her all the success. I really do.
In the premiere, we see you and Ramona seem to be getting along really well, which was fun because you guys have been on the show for so long. Can you even believe that? Can you believe how long it's been that you've been on this show?
13 years, darling. Wow. I mean, it's crazy, right? And, Ramona and I have had a lot of issues in the past, you know, and I feel like Ramona genuinely likes me. She never genuinely liked me. There was always some sort of, you know, ulterior motive going on with Ramona. You know what I mean? And I never could trust her or feel like she had my back. And that has changed for me. And I think, I'm always weary. But her attitude towards me has changed. And so it's changed my attitude towards her. And it's kind of nice to be back on the Upper East Side and have her as my neighbor. And see that she genuinely cares about me in a much different way than I am used to seeing in the past. And let me tell you, I'm very instinctual. So I see through the bullshit. Right. She is genuine about her affection for me. And it's nice. It's a nice change.
Is there anyone you're not getting along with in the cast, the current cast?
You know, I have my ups and downs, you know, in the very beginning with Ebony. And as I said, you know, we talk about issues and we get through it. And I have a good relationship with her now. And, you know, surprisingly enough, Sonia and I have some issues along the way, but you'll kind of see that play out. And, you know, I adore Sonia, but you'll see there's a little change in the dynamic there too. And I can't quite figure it out, but I will.
You know, speaking of Sonia, she's of course been a part of your cabaret in the past, and I've seen your cabaret twice. It's one of the best nights out you can possibly have. I was just saying, it's like, I can't wait for this whole world to open up so we can see Lou on tour.
Yeah, and all
just have a good night out. Are you planning new dates or are you holding off? What's going on?
No. I've got a full calendar coming up, and I'm starting off with Christmas shows. Because I just, you know, I just felt that was, you know, a safer bet for me. And I love Christmas and I love the holidays and people just want to celebrate. And, you know, and so I have a new show coming out. I have a new director, which I'm thrilled about, Richard J. Alexander, who is the director of so many greats, Kristen Chenoweth and, Barbara Streisand, and I'm super excited. I have Ben's Blessing, who's my directed my first shows, and Billy Stritch is on board, and so I am a lucky woman. I'm in very good hands, and you know, I'm going solo. No more kind of guests. I am doing full on cabaret, and I'm super excited about that. And the dates are coming up November, December. I'll be back on. I've already doing, you know, a lot of dates like around the city. Boston and Connecticut, et cetera, and Jersey. But I want to find the perfect location to do the show in New York. So we're still working on that. So stay tuned.
I've been saying for years now, I want you to do a holiday song. Like, can we get a Christmas song from you? Like,
I have a Christmas song.
Okay. So are we going to get it? Okay.
Yeah.
Can you tell me anything about it?
On the show. You know, it's written by Bruce Roberts, who is an amazing producer. I'm so lucky to work with such, you know, incredible producers and who have worked with, you know, iconic singers and talent. And so the song is coming out this fall. You'll see it play out on the show. I've included some of the housewives, so you'll get to see that. And the song is amazing, super catchy. And I can't wait for you to hear it. So, and
I've been dying for Christmas.
I did a music video. Oh yeah. It's an original Christmas song and it just, you can't get it out of your head. Really?
I cannot wait. You don't even know. Like, I'm salivating over that.
Oh my God. You're going to love it, Danny.
Okay. So you've been on the show for 13 seasons. Now on my show, I often recap your show and we talk, and there's a lot of other recap shows and people do impersonations. And I wonder, is that flattering to you? Is that annoying to you? Like, how do you feel about people kind of
impersonating?
Yeah, impersonating and also picking apart the show.
Right. Well, listen, you know, I love it. I don't take it anything personally. I think, you know, impersonation is a big form of, you know, flattery for people and for me. And, you know, you gotta laugh at yourself and take it, you know, take things lightly. And I enjoy it personally.
And it's also out of love because we love your show so much. I mean, to me, your show is the peak of Bravo. I think you guys are just the best thing on not only Bravo, but truly Roni's my favorite show on television.
Oh my gosh,
right now.
You are going to love this season then, Danny. I got to tell you, I'm going to love it.
I can't wait. What can you spoil? There's got to be something you could spoil. Is there a big fight? What's going on with Heather, Halla Thompson? She shows up and then she decides to dip out. Like, what's happening there?
Well, listen, she shows up and I don't think it went according to plan for her. So you're going to see how that unfolds. I was surprised to hear that they brought Heather back. It's like, you know, I like Heather. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing, you know, no hard feelings with her, et cetera. But I was just surprised. It kind of came out of left field. So it doesn't go according to her plan, I don't think. And somehow, you know, we part ways and I'm not quite sure who parted which way.
You know, I've heard some things. I've heard some things and I, at the very least, feel like it's going to be very good TV. So that's
going to be great.
Yeah. Okay. There's this rumor about Housewives All-Stars that is rumored you're soon might be going to film this All-Star thing. Can you tell us anything about it? You might not be able to, but tell me something.
Well, what I can tell you is that I'm going and I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I've met a lot of the housewives, of course, and, you know, through Bravo functions, et cetera, and appearances, what have you. But you never really get to know the other ladies. And so, you know, there's nothing like going on a vacation to get to know people. So I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously I can't talk about it too much, but I have, you know, some friends that are going from other franchises, but you know, it's going to be interesting to see all the different personalities, and they're strong ones. They really picked well. I can tell you that. I know it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be very, very classy.
I'm sure it'll be amazing. I can't wait. Luann, I reached out to people and they sent in questions. So I want to get to some of these because there's so many that came in. Lizzie wants to know what happened to the Chicago thing on Broadway. Was that, I think you had said on a reunion that you were doing Chicago on Broadway and then.
Well, yeah, they asked me to be in the show and I was on tour. And it really, it was like, it was just that the timing was not right. And I listened that they asked me, I'm so, you know, thrilled to even be asked and to have a, you know, and to have a contract in my inbox from Chicago to that never got signed. But, you know, I would love to, when Broadway comes back to be in Chicago. So we'll see, you know, I mean, I hope it works out the next time.
Luann, we need it. Like, I need to hear you singing He Had It Coming. And yeah. I'm picturing Tom in my head, you singing to Tom that yeah. song. That's what I need.
Or the one about class.
Yes.
Mama Morton's class.
Oh, amazing. We need it. Okay, Aaron Colangelo, I hope I'm saying that right, wants to know if you could cast next season, is there anyone from the past that you would bring back?
You know, it's funny. People have been asking me that, you know, how much do we love Jill Zarin? And I'm going to throw you a real for a loop is Aviva.
Oh, Aviva would be fun. We haven't checked in with Aviva at all.
I know. I think Aviva would be great. I mean, first of all, she's married. she's actually a housewife with four kids. And so I think Aviva would be great. And also Tinsley.
I know. I miss Tins. Does Jill pop in at all this season, or Tinsley? Do we see them pop in at all?
I don't know. I can't tell you that. Cause listen, you know, Leah and her are tighter, and I know Leah and her saw each other. I don't know how much. And so maybe we'll see Jill too.
I can't wait. You know, Kelly Bensimone's a former cast member, and she just posted this long YouTube video about Scary Island. She said she's coming clean about Scary Island.
Yeah, and I think it's good. She needed to come clean.
There's so much mystery surrounding that trip. And I know you weren't on the trip, but I wonder if you could maybe tell me, like, at that time, was there any pressure for you as a cast member to go on that trip? Or were they completely fine with you not going on that trip? Does that make sense?
They weren't happy about me coming on the trip, but it was my daughter's, like, I can't remember if it was like her 16th birthday. It was an important birthday or 18th birthday. How long ago was Scary Island? I can't remember.
I don't even know what year. It was a while ago.
So it was my daughter's birthday. I said, you know, I just can't, you know, my family comes first. And then of course I said to Kelly, I said, you know, you need your wingman with you, because I knew that they were going to come for her. And I felt like she just couldn't take it. You know, it was just too much from everybody going after her. Same thing happened to me in Miami, by the way, when they were all after me about my cabaret and I didn't bring them their truffle fries. And, you know, and then Bethany, you know, lost her shit on me completely, went insane for no reason. I took it. I said, okay, great, girls.
And I rewatched that, Luann, and I don't know how somebody could sit there and just, you were very poised, which I couldn't imagine being poised in that moment.
Yeah, and I just thought she was nuts. And so I was not going to, you know, react to somebody who was being crazy, right? And unfortunately, you know, Kelly's reaction was not, you know, because it was just too much for her. And I think she literally couldn't take it anymore. I'm glad I missed that trip.
You know, she talked about there being like a health issue with one of the cast members, and people were online were thinking that she was talking about Bethany. Bethany was pregnant at the time. Are you able to speak on that at all? Like, what was, it was inferred that, you know, Bethany had been going through something and Kelly felt uncomfortable about it.
Well, I think that's when Bethany lost her father, right?
Oh, right, maybe right, right.
That's what she was talking about. I think that was a very hard time for Bethany too. So I think Bethany had very little patience for her at that point, you know.
There's so much.
Because she was going through her own shit, you know.
Right. There was so much lore. That, to me, that's the peak of Housewives, is that season three. I think it's just so good. I go back to it all the time.
Well, the peak of The Real Housewives of New York.
Right. But also, you guys have had some other, like, every season there's like a couple episodes that I think, I watch it, I'm like, how did they do this again? Like, I don't understand.
Right. Yeah, right? That's what I say. Every time we finish filming, I'm like, I did it again. or before we start filming, how am I going to do this again?
In the current season, we see Garth show up. Can you tell me about Garth?
Well, listen, Garth was my pandemic fling. Everybody needs a pandemic fling if you're lucky, right? So I found a gorgeous guy, right, who was like hanging around the Hamptons. So I was like, hey, let's have a coffee. And, you know, it started with a real, you know, a sizzle, and then it kind of fizzled. And that's okay. We're friends. It's cool. Not like all uncool. And it's okay. You know, I'm busy. I'm, you know, busy with my family and my cabaret show, and I'm making a sparkling rosé, non-alcoholic beverage, which I'm super excited about, because I am tired of going for having a mocktail, and there's not a mixologist at every bar, obviously. So it comes back and it's sweet and it's disgusting and it doesn't taste good. And it's a crapshoot. And then, or you order a Pellegrino, like our Danny Pellegrino. And do you know that I know the Pellegrinos from Milan when I lived there?
I love that. Wait, tell me.
You know them well. Anyway, so you order a Pellegrino, and then somebody goes, and people go, I'm like, she doesn't drink. It's boring. So I'm coming out this fall with an elevated sparkling rosé that's going to knock your socks off.
I love
that. And it's low calorie, and there's nothing on the marketplace like that. So I decided, out of necessity, my invention is something that makes me feel like I'm drinking along with everybody else.
And it's perfect, because that's what it fits perfectly. And I agree with you. We need something like that. Yeah. You know, somebody else had written in about the Suez Canal. It was in the news recently. And, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, the ship got stuck in the Suez Canal, right? I mean, and that's the canal that the De Lesseps actually were responsible for. Well, that and the Panama Canal. He was the architect for both. So, and then it was so horrifying to see that, you know, they had all these people in there and dying. And oh my God, just tragic. Yeah, tragic.
It was terrible.
And I'm sure Ferdinand De Lesseps would not be very happy with that.
Right. Luann, do you have a favorite moment from all the seasons? You gave me a little uncool of your catchphrases. Is there one catchphrase that you like the most, or does that make sense?
Well, I got to say, one of my favorite lines is, God. And, you know, I create music around all of these things that happen to me. You know, Money Can't Buy a Class was basically after the first season.
Do you have the stock in Giovanni? Like, you must have made so much money for Giovanni.
Well, we're talking. Right. But, you know, I'm getting dresses from there as we speak. You know, I walk in and we have a great relationship. And, but I am thinking that I'm going to do a line with Giovanni for everyone, and less evening and more girls' night out.
Right. I love that. Where do you go from here, Luann? How long do you want to be on the show? It feels like you could be on forever. Like, do you want to be on forever, or what do you think?
You know, no, I don't want to, you know, I'm aging gracefully, as people have been saying to me. And, I just don't, you know, want to be with a cane or a walker or anything like that. But I'm joking.
I'd watch it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Me and Ramona in Central Park with our walkers.
All I want, Luann. Honestly, it's all I want. I don't ever want you two to leave. Like, I will, even though Ramona, she, you know, I go back and forth with Ramona, you know, but I don't want her to leave the show. I can't have it. Like, I'm so attached to you all at this point.
I know.
It broke my heart when Dorinda left.
I know. You know, we were sad about that too, but you know, listen, you know, I always say, oh my God, how am I going to do this season? And am I going to do another season? And somehow I get looped in. And I feel grateful for that, because I have an opportunity to to hopefully, you know, make a difference and, you know, inspire people in some way and make people laugh and, you know, and keep, you know, I found my cabaret really through doing The Housewives, and that, that journey, I mean, could last me the, you know, for a very long time. I was just at Marilyn May's 93rd birthday in Boca with my director, with, Richard J. Alexander, watching her perform. And I said to myself, my God, I can do this for a long time, because I really do love it. It really gives me joy. And so, you know, I feel blessed.
Is that the goal, or is Broadway the next goal? What's the next goal?
Listen, you know, who knows? I'm just doing me. You broke the girl code. All that glitters ain't gold. You know, and you know, God, my music saves me, you know, and I was talking about
saves
that.
All
you know,
of
money can't buy you class. Chic, c'est la vie, c'est bon, and all the lyrics. I love the lyrics. You know, writing these lyrics is just so much fun.
And we've heard so many Housewives songs come and go. You know, there's been a lot of them, but yours are all so good, and it's truly, I don't know.
But these I keep doing them, you know. Mine are here to stay, and the lyrics, because they all tell a story, you know. It's really about storytelling, my music, and that's what music is all about, is telling a story and being able to relate to that. And
you're a storyteller.
Yeah. That's why I do my cabaret.
Luann, I know I have to let you go, but a couple quick questions that I ask every guest. Number one is what their favorite Mariah Carey song is. I love Mariah Carey, and I know she's got a bunch of songs. And then also,
I want for Christmas is you, baby.
A classic. And also, if you were choosing for People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose?
Bradley Cooper.
He's sexy. Luann, what an honor to talk to you. I'm such a huge fan of yours.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. You're adorable. And thank you for being such a big fan. I love you for that.
I hope to see you in person at some point, but good luck on the Housewives All-Stars
show. My next Christmas show.
I'll be there. I'll be there. Luann, thank you for taking the time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sweetheart. Bye. Bye, honey.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. I'm here with the stars of Catfish, Neve and Cammy. How are you both doing? Cammy, we'll start with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, one day at a time, double vaxxed.
Neve, this Catfish thing, when you started it with that documentary so many years ago, did you imagine you'd be creating this word and this world? Like, did you know that this would snowball?
100%. The whole thing was planned out. And I even knew that the pandemic was going to happen
live,
and that we would do a whole season virtually. Yeah, I'm telling you, I've just been a visionary since day one. So yeah, I knew it was coming.
Okay, but all jokes aside, it must be gratifying to see how it's what it's become.
Yes, it is. It is genuinely a delight and a surprise every time. We film an episode and every time a new episode airs, because the fact that I get to do what I'm doing, which I really believe is helping people. I don't think of myself as some sort of saint, but I do think we're getting people answers to the questions they have. We're also helping people tell the truth and have some accountability and you know, own up to their mistakes or whatever it might be. And I think in making the show, we're also then helping people who are watching potentially avoid having it happen to them. So it's amazing that I get to make the show, and it's so much fun to do, and I get to work with Cammy, and that people love it. And I feel very lucky.
Well, we love Cammy. I speak on behalf of everyone. I love that when Cammy joined. And Cammy, did you watch? I'm sure you must have watched before you officially joined the show.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, you know, Catfish raised me a little on the younger side. I'm only 28. So when the documentary came out, I think I was in my freshman year of college or like right before that. And I remember watching it and being like, oh, my God. Like, I don't think that we really thought that people were talking to people on the internet that weren't them. Like, I think
right.
knew like, you know, phone chat rooms, like, okay, somebody could be like putting on a little bit of a persona or like a different personality. But I don't think that we genuinely believed that the people that we were talking to on the internet weren't who they said they were. I remember being in like, you know, those little penguin chat rooms, like age, sex, location, like, but then I would also lie about my age. I was like 14 and I'm like 23. Los Angeles. Hey. Like, you know, we don't think about it. At the time, we weren't thinking about catfishing as if it was an actual thing that people did with their lives. So even watching the show unfold, it gets crazy and crazier every single time.
Right. There's a show called Pen 15 on Hulu, and it's set in 2000, I believe. And they did an episode about AOL Instant Messenger, and it was the sort of start of catfishing in a weird way, but yeah, it was totally. A totally different form. And Neve, I'm curious, how have you seen over the past years since you made the documentary, how has the, I don't want to say art of, but how has the process of catfishing, do you think it has changed or evolved?
You know, it's interesting. I haven't made a precise analysis, but my instinct is to say that it almost hasn't changed at all. And that remarkably, one of the sort of fundamental qualities that exists inside of every human is this ability to believe what it is you want to believe, no matter what. And so I think there are just certain people who are more susceptible and sort of vulnerable to deception. And it doesn't even matter. I mean, with all the technology we have, it's so easy to know who you're talking to. And yet, if you're not trying to find out the truth, you don't care how little information you're getting. It's almost better the less you get, because you're happier imagining that what you're getting is what you want. So it's not that much harder to catfish now than it was back then, because if someone's willing and ready to get catfished, it doesn't matter. You know? Right.
Cammy, I'm curious, what have you sort of learned? This is a heavier question, but about the human condition after coming on full time. Cause I feel like even just watching this show, I'm learning about how people sort of situate themselves in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I think one important thing for even viewers to recognize is like, you only see 45 minutes of days worth of shooting and understanding this person and getting to know them that we get. And it was very difficult for me at first, you know, coming on. Obviously it's a fun job. It's a fun show to watch, but I'm an empath at heart. So it is a lot taking on a lot of that energy and just, you know, hearing some of these stories that can be really, really heavy at times. And I remember when I first started, you know, even friends that would watch the show just for fun when it wasn't even Max, they're like, how do you not laugh at these people when they're telling you these crazy stories? And I'm like, well, if you were in that room and like listening to what they were saying, you wouldn't laugh, because a lot of it is really, really heavy. And I think I've just learned that empathy goes a long way. And sometimes it's better to just listen and come from a place of trying to understand versus trying to judge and demean and degrade. Yes, there are times when, you know, I have to come for people because that's called accountability. But at the end of the day, I think we try to land at you know, a place of understanding and love and respect.
Right. Neve, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but I'm very curious, why do you think people say yes to signing these releases and coming on this show? And why?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot, but I think more than that, I just think about that a lot. And the best answer I could probably give is, we just filmed an episode a couple days ago, where at the end, the catfish, who's interestingly, whose biggest lie was actually their age, which I don't know if we've ever had an episode like that. Anyway, he was very concerned that we would come for him and, you know, really give him a hard time and judge him and be tough on him. And, you know, while we obviously discussed the issues and pointed out his mistakes, we were very objective and open-minded to hearing from him and letting him sort of tell his side of the story. And he said at the end, he said, "I just wanted to say thanks to you guys. I really didn't know what to expect. I thought maybe you'd be harder on me, but this experience was so positive. I got to tell the truth. I got to talk to this person I've been wanting to talk to, sort of let this burden off my chest. And I can't imagine it going any better." And so I think that's sort of the hope, is that that catfish can come out from behind their lies. They can apologize or whatever their plan might be. In some cases, obviously they want to sort of humiliate someone, unfortunately, but whatever it might be, they accomplish their goal. And in most cases have our support. And, you know, obviously also our, constructive criticism at times. But we're pushing people to be honest and be real and to hopefully feel better about themselves in the end. So I think that's mainly why.
You know, Cammy, I'm curious if you've seen a boom of this during the pandemic, because now everything has become virtual. I mean, we're doing this interview virtual, whereas normally we'd be in person. And now I wonder, do you think there's a boom in it?
Definitely. I've seen more of my friends even questioning whether or not they're being catfished by people that they meet on dating apps. And, you know, more and more people are flooding in with DMs. You know, Neve's been saying, like, we're curious to see what happens next year. Like, once things are opened up and people have more time to talk to these internet friends, you know, I think that in, you know, next season is going to be when we really see the effects of what this pandemic has brought. But I definitely think that, you know, this time has allowed people who would have never probably gone on a dating app to begin with, because maybe they had a flourishing dating life in their city. Good for them, because I've got a lot of friends in LA that are looking for a date. You know, now those people are more likely to get on apps and they don't have the tools. Like they don't realize or know or think like, oh, I could be getting duped by somebody that I just met on this app. You know, because they would pull those kinds of guys in real life, or girl, whatever, they would pull those people in real life. So they're not thinking that they would get on the internet and it not be the same.
Right. Neve, I feel like as the show has gone on, people must have learned different tips and tricks as well as they're catfishing. And we've seen on the show, there's always, I feel like every season there's an episode or two where it becomes next level and you think like, how did, you know, it's something surprising. What do we have to look forward to this season is what I'm trying to get at.
I think this season, because it's so much rooted in the sort of heart of quarantine and the pandemic, brought about a lot of situations with people who were already involved with each other. We saw a lot of relationships kind of called into question via mischievous internet profiles and relationships. And I think that's really interesting to see how, you know, when you're not distracted by your regular routine, and when you delete the sort of social interactions and friendships of socializing and things like that, and you're sort of forced to stay in your home or house or place with your person, you know, you have to find ways to, I don't know, occupy your time, but also it raises questions about the relationship. And sometimes one might feel like the best way to find an answer to that is to create a sort of external force or person or profile to stir the pot, you know?
Are you guys getting back to in-person stuff? I mean, I'm not sure if you're in production yet for the next season, but
we are never not in production. That's the fun part. We've been filming nonstop since the start of the pandemic, and I don't know when we're ever going to stop, but Neve and I are in person now. So that's nice because before, you know, we've all just been on Zoom, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, we can't meet up or travel or, you know.
Right. I think we're hoping, though, that by maybe sometime this summer or fall, we will be.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, my favorite moment is, of course, the fat ass Kelly Price, which has become a meme in and of itself. And do you have a favorite moment, Niamh, throughout the years? Is there something that sticks out?
Huh. Favorite moment.
Cammy, if you have one that sticks out.
Well, I like it when, clapping, right? Justin. Yeah. I actually find my favorite moments are usually when either Max or Cammy kind of lose their cool. I love that.
Every episode?
That's the most fun. So like when Max kind of, there was one episode where he walked out on the catfish because he didn't like the way he was acting. I love that moment. And Cammy, when you got into that fight with Ashley, I love that. That stuff. I love being around confrontation.
Right, because he gets
and,
to be like
and
the
it not cop. Involving me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's the good guy.
Yeah. You guys, I want to wrap this up, but has any celebrities reached out to you? Have any celebrities reached out to you guys? I'm sure there have been some. We've seen a little bit on the show, but is there anyone that has reached out to you that maybe we don't know about?
I mean, I saw Chris Brown at a party the other day and he said he watches the show and he watched the episode that I was on where the girl we were helping thought she was talking to Chris Brown for two or three years. And he was like, you would not believe how many girls show up at my house in LA thinking that they've been talking to me on the internet, and they haven't, but you know, I don't know why, you know, people are able to get celebrities' addresses like that. At Los Angeles is kind of like the place for to know where celebrities live. So I was shocked because I was just like this is a thing outside of the show. And he was like, you would be amazed.
Right. Did you follow the Dina Lohan of it all? Did you guys?
My God, we're just talking about that.
What was going on there?
I mean, I got reached out to when that whole thing was happening because there were a number of women who had negative experiences with the guy that she's in a relationship with. And I was hoping that I could help tell their story and also educate Dina as to the sort of truth about this guy. It hadn't happened, but it might still happen. And I'm still involved and hoping that I can be of some assistance. So we'll see.
I know I said I'm wrapping this up, but at what point would you tell a friend if they're talking to someone and they haven't met in person? When would you step in and say, you need to either figure this out or you need to get out of this?
Immediately.
Yeah. I mean, pretty early. But it's easy to say that when it's not happening to you.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell a friend who's so happy and has this wonderful person who's messaging them all these lovely things and making them feel good. Like, you should stop talking to that person.
Yeah.
I think it's important that friends help their friends, whether with or without their permission. So if you can get some dirt on the guy or girl and do some of your own research and find some actual info and then present it instead of just saying, oh, well, I think you're probably getting catfished, but that's, You gotta come with some facts, you know?
Right. Yeah. My sisters think that I'm like way too paranoid. Like one of my sisters has been Snapchatting this guy. I hope my mom's not listening. She's going to be like, which one is that? But she's been Snapchatting this guy she met on Hinge. And I'm like, have you FaceTimed with him? It's been 2 weeks. And she's like, no, but like I have him on Snapchat. And I'm like, but you haven't FaceTimed him. And she's like, but I have him on Snapchat. I'm like, that's not enough. Do you know what's out there? And she's like, okay, this catfish, like, it's okay. Like, you know, not everyone's out to get everyone, but you have to, everyone is a suspect.
No, but I think everyone is a suspect. If I learn anything from the Scream franchise, that's it, Cammy. Yeah. Now I ask every guest this, so I just want to wrap this up by saying, what's your favorite Mariah Carey song? And then also, if you were choosing for People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose? Niamh, you can answer if you'd like, but.
Wait, yeah. Cammy should go first. Yeah.
Okay.
Mariah Carey song, first of all, there's so many.
I know.
Oh my God. Probably Baby Doll. That would probably be me. You know, I dressed up as Mariah Carey for Halloween.
Kimmy, I know. And also, I love that you gave me that answer because I ask every single one of my guests this. And most people say All I Want for Christmas is You, which I understand. God. It's a great song, but I just, I appreciate, I appreciate when somebody gives me something juicy or different about it.
Baby Doll and Sexiest Man Alive. Obviously, I'm going to pick Neve.
Oh, stop.
Hair, okay, besides Neve.
Full chest hair cover. Besides Neve and besides my boyfriend. Oh, my God. I don't know. Oh, probably Lil Nas X.
Great answer. Love it. Love it. He's so sexy. Yes.
Yeah.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And Neve, if you'd like to answer those questions, we'd love to hear it.
Are you running?
Is that When You Believe?
Yes. Oh. That is the jam. I rewatched Prince of Egypt over quarantine and I was like, I cried.
It's so good. You know, they only performed that song live twice. It was like, I think the Academy Awards and Oprah.
Yeah.
Iconic.
There it is. Anyway, so that's definitely my fave.
You're speaking right to my heart. You too.
Yes.
And Sexiest Man Alive. Who do I have a crush on?
So many. So many people.
A lot to choose from.
It sounds a little like whatever, but I have to say, Harry Styles at the Grammys kind of got me.
Yeah, he's sexy.
Okay, yeah, same.
He's got he's got an energy to him too. It's just a sexy energy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for taking the time. It was truly a pleasure. And I want to encourage everyone, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, to like, subscribe, comment, all that stuff, and find me and them on social media and watch Catfish on MTV. I'm so excited for the whole season. Thank you so much.
Tuesday night. Thank you.